series talking about the spiritual armor, dealing with spiritual warfare. What is it? How do we put it on? How do we keep it on? Addressing each piece. So far, we've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about the belt of truth. Then we had our Easter break. Today, we're going to come back to the series, and we're going to be talking about walking in peace. How many of you need peace today? Peace is an incredible thing. Peace is something that God has for you. Peace is not the elusive unicorn that everyone longs to see. Peace is something that God has for all of us, that we can not just hear about it and talk about it and hope one day to find peace. You can have the peace of God at work in your life right now. And I'm just letting you know right now, at the end of our time together, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. We're going to share that with you. And then we're going to have an opportunity for people who need to find peace in their life to come to this altar and say, God, I invite you in a new way, in a deeper way, so I can have the peace of God. I'm not sneaking up on anybody. I'm letting you know what's going to happen so that your mind and your heart can kind of get ready for it. Now, we've been talking about the spiritual armor. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that when we're talking about the armor, there's a level of spiritual maturity that we have to handle this stuff. And I want you to understand that we've got to have a level of spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is kind of a funny thing, because you can have all of this experience with God, but not have knowledge, and you're immature. And you can have all of this knowledge. You study and study and study, and you know a lot here, but have no experience and seeing it at work in your life and applied in your life and living and breathing in your life, and you're immature. And what we have to have, spiritual maturity, is when you have an experience with God that hangs on a peg of knowledge. Like when you come in your house, unless you're my children, and you put your coat on the little bench instead of hanging it up on the knob. Like mom wants you to. Why is your coat on the floor? That's where it fell. It must be God's will. You know, no, it's not God's will. Put it on the peg. You see, we have to have the teaching. We have to be people of the word who understand, who learn, who grow in the nature and the character and how God does things and why God does things, so that when I experience it in my life, I can hang it on that peg. And in doing so, it helps me be spiritually mature. See, I don't want to be over here and have all this experience and not know what it means. And I don't want to be over here and have it all figured out, but have never actually lived it. Because that's not really good. I want to be mature. And so I realize that we need to be mature. But as I learn the Word of God and experience the Word of God at work in my life, I mature in my relationship with Jesus. I grow in that. And that's what God desires us to be, is mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's the goal, right? If you agree with me, say amen. All right. Now listen, our theme statement for this series is, if you want to be victorious in the physical, like you are in the spiritual, you have to address the physical spiritually. Our battle's not flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual. And in the spiritual, Jesus has the victory. So we need to address things that we're dealing with here spiritually through Christ. Everybody with me so far? Righteousness is the application of God's truth in my life. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness because it guards our heart, because Proverbs tells us that out of our heart flow all the issues of life, all of the dynamics of our heart. And as I apply it and I'm walking in it righteously, and I shared this before, and this is not proper English, so please just know I'm doing this on purpose. If we don't walk in righteousness, we're walking in wrongness. And when we walk in wrongness, we have an invitation for the enemy to come and to enter in. And he comes to do a couple of things: steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Three-prong attack, and that's what he goes at. Now, we are body, soul, and spirit. Our body is physical. Our body, when we pass, it dies, it goes back to dust. We get a new body in heaven. Amen? Amen. Aren't you excited about that? Because I think our new body is going to be in shape. I'm like, Lord, when I get to heaven, I want a new body and I want a six-pack. God says you have one. It's just buried under all that stuff. I said, thank you, Jesus. So encouraging. Our soul, which comprises of our mind, our intellect, our will, what we desire, the things we want to do and don't want to do, and then our emotions, which is what we feel. It's our expression, and we're walking those all three. Our soul, while we're saved in the Spirit, our soul is walking through the process of sanctification, where we are saved, but we're becoming like Christ. And I pray that all of us can look at our lives now and look back a year and see how we've grown, because there's a process that is at work. Now, you look back at a year, and you're actually doing worse than you were a year ago. You're moving the wrong way. We want to be more like Christ. We want to be more like Him. And so we go through this process of sanctification. Now, our spirit is an amazing thing, because we were spiritually dead before we knew Jesus. But when we accept Christ, He makes our spirit alive. He takes from us a heart of stone. He gives us a new heart, a good heart. He gives us a heart that knows Him and knows His presence and knows His Spirit. And we can sense His Spirit at work around us. We were dead, but at salvation, everything becomes brand new. And that's why someone can be saved and yet still struggle with some issues in life. My spirit's saved, but my soul's still being transformed. It's been transformed, but it's still becoming transformed. I'm learning more about Him. I'm learning how to walk like Him more. And you know what? And you see this, is when I was young, I had anger problems. Man, I was an angry little kid. Now, I don't know why I was angry, but I was just an angry little kid. And I think a lot of it was I was just so disillusioned with life. My mom said I came to her at 6, 7 years old. And I said to her, is this all life is? Is this all life is, Mama? She said, what do you mean? I said, I get up, I go to school, I come home, I do homework, I go to bed, and the next day I get up and I do it all over again. And if that's life, I don't want it. Mom said, you terrified me as a child. And I said, you're welcome for having a great prayer life. It's all perspective, isn't it? It's all perspective. My mom took me shopping one time. I didn't want to go. I went to the middle of the coat rack, and it was like a JCPenney's. And I sat in the middle of the coat rack, and I picked up my feet, and I sat there until they locked the store down. And I thought I had been taken. You ever been at something and you kind of thought it was funny until you realized I might be in trouble? After about 3 hours, I just kind of came stumbling out of the coats like I was lost. Where's my mom? I can't find her anywhere. She hugged me. I'm thinking, yes, yeah. I hope she's not watching this morning. But listen, through the sanctification process, we learn to love Jesus, and we're learning to be like Him. But sometimes it takes time. So our spirit is saved. Our soul is being transformed, going through a process of sanctification. Our body just does what your soul tells it to. Our flesh just does what my mind and what my emotions, you know, you ever thought something through and said, this is what I'm going to do, and then you go and do it. Well, that's that process. You've been in a moment, been in a situation where something makes you angry or something makes you sad, and all of a sudden you say, I feel like crying. And what? You cry. Or you punch something, or you kick the cat, or something. Your soul tells your body what to do, and that's what it does. But at salvation, our spirit at salvation is transformed, it's been made new, and it can receive truth. And the Spirit releases truth, releases righteousness, releases life to our soul, and that changes our soul, and then that releases life to our body, and that changes our actions and what we do. So I'm kind of walking you through the breastplate of righteousness just to get back to peace. So the body begins to live righteous because the soul is becoming righteous and the Spirit's flow has delivered righteousness to it. So the Spirit receives God, pushes it to the soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, and then my body simply does what the soul tells it to do. Everybody, do you understand the process? Good. Because here's the thing. What religion tries to do is religion tries to change you from the outside in. Religion tries to start on the outside and work its way. Oh, you got to come to church more. You got to give more. You got to do more. You got to be more. You got to serve more. You got to worship more. If you normally worship like this, you got to get your hands higher. If you normally clap, you got to clap louder. I saw some impressive clapping today. My young friend right here who's sleeping, he was sitting there and clapping, and he was doing like hands. Oh, did I call you out? Oh, my gosh. Holy man. I just thought that in my mind. But see, my body just did what my mind told it to. I don't know what just happened there. That's the word of God. That's truth. And it was clapping, and he wasn't. If you normally clap like this, you got to clap like this. You got to, you got to do more. You got to just do more. It's got to be more. It's got to give more. And that's what everything tells you, and all you end up doing is getting tired. You get exhausted. You get worn out, because true change doesn't work like that. True change happens in the heart. It happens in the spirit of a man. And you know this because you've lived this, that when you focus on worry, worry takes over. You never find yourself just worrying about one thing. You start worrying about one thing. And then you know what happens? Then you're worrying about something else. And then you, oh my goodness, I didn't even think about this over here. And then you find that worry just comes in. It just bleeds into everything. Well, the same is true of truth. That when I focus my spirit on truth, what does God say? All of a sudden, what does God say about this? Well, this is what God's, ooh, I wonder what God says about that. Ooh, and I wonder what God says about that. And all of a sudden, truth begins to bleed into my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. And it helps me to live differently. It helps me to function differently. When that truth hits your spirit will pump out righteousness and the life of God to the rest of you. And all of a sudden, your mind is renewed. And how do you know God wants to renew our minds? Man, he wants to change the way we think. Because when he changes the way we think, I'm going to think differently about him. I'm going to think differently about myself. I'm going to think differently about my brothers and sisters. People that drive you crazy, all of a sudden, God might give you a burden to pray for them. It's amazing what happens when we start thinking different. My will comes into alignment with his will, where God says, this is what I want you to do. And you go, yeah, but that's not what I want to do. All of a sudden, I'm saying, God, I'm going to do it your way. God, I want to hear from you, and I want you to tell me. And if that's what you want, then that's what I want to do. My emotions stop driving my body, and I begin to feel how God feels about things. And you begin to learn to have the heart of God. And what happens is when your spirit breathes that into your soul, then your body just does what your soul tells it to. And you know what? You find yourself in different places than you used to be, doing different things than you used to do, being a different person than you used to be, because that's the way we grow and mature. So receive God's truth and apply God's truth to your life and put on the breastplate of righteousness, not just skin deep. I'm not saying hide behind it. I'm saying put it on so that we become it, become the righteousness of God. We can do this. Now this morning, I'm going to look at the next piece of armor that we're to put on and keep on. Everything so far you put on and keep on all the time. All the time truth, all the time righteous, all the time peace. So we're going to talk about standing firm as we walk in peace. Now listen, God's peace will confirm your direction. People say, I don't know what to do, Pat. I just don't know what to do. What are you at peace about? What is God's peace telling you? It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. We talked about this last Sunday. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life has problems. Life has trouble. Some of them we cause on ourselves. Other ones people cause on us. Sometimes things happen in life that are just crazy things. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know where it came from. But hardships come. They find us. Jesus said that was going to happen. But even in the midst of that, I can maintain peace. Doesn't mean there's not going to be emotions. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to be nervous or scared sometime. It doesn't mean that you're always going to be just super confident. Well, I'm just going to do it. It's going to be awesome. You ever have that moment? You ever talked yourself into doing something your body didn't want to do? Oh, no, I'm going to jump. My brother, my older brother, his name is Dell, don't tell anybody, decided one time he was going to do a bungee jump. And he was down at one of these, went to a beach for a weekend thing, and they had this thing for $100. They would lift you off this huge lift, and they hooked you to the harness, and they would let you jump off. And he's like, man, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And people are like, Dale, come on. And he's like, oh, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So he hook them all up to the harness. They bring them all the way up there. Now, if it was standing and jumping like this, I think I would be fine. But they had him standing with his back, and he was to fall. And he said, Wes, I'm holding on to the bars. And I kept going like this. He goes, my core wanted to jump. My hands were not having it. He said, I did everything. I'm throwing myself. He goes, it just would not let go. And the guy said, do you want us to take you and throw you? And he said, I will kill you. He said, they lowered the thing back down and I just walked off. See, sometimes, I really hope he's not watching this morning. I love it. Sometimes you don't always understand what's going on in your life, but I want to say, you can have the peace of God still. Still. Now, there's a lot of people have a love of shoes. And I hear a couple of women amening. You have shoes for everything. There's heels, and then there's different size heels. There's high heels, and then there's break your ankle high heels, and then there's like, you know, mid heels, heels that are kind of medium. Then there's flats, and then there's flip flops, and then there's, you know, y'all got shoes. I don't even know what they're called. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Tons of shoes for everything, and all different kinds, and athletic shoes. Now, men don't really get away with this often. Men usually have a pair of, like, black or darker dress shoes. We'll have a pair of casuals. And then we usually have a pair of tennis shoes or something. And that's kind of what we do. We're just kind of minimalist. But the ladies, y'all need shoes. If you know, the outfit's not done until the shoes work. Right? I've been married 25 years. Y'all aren't, I know. All right, it's crazy. You get a new outfit, you need a new pair of shoes to go with it, because an outfit isn't an outfit without the shoes. Well, baby, didn't you just buy a pair of shoes? Well, that was for that outfit. Well, I lose. Well, here's the thing. There's shoes for everything. I actually know a young girl. She's blonde, about yay tall, who sometimes when she travels, and I'm not saying where she's sitting, she'll bring one suitcase for clothes, and then what's in the other suitcase? Shoes. A whole suitcase. She comes down. I say she comes down. Let me rephrase that. Daddy, can you carry my bags down? I can't pick them up. You know. And so now she's got a husband who's got to do all that. So, you know. Dustin and I last year were gone for a week, and we both had like a little duffel bag. You know, she brings that to church. You know, you just never know. If the lighting's down, I need these shoes. If the lighting's up, you have a different, you know, it's great. But here's the thing. Paul says that there's a pair of shoes that if we wear, and we're supposed to wear them all the time, that they will help us address an area of spiritual warfare in our life. And he says it in Ephesians chapter 6, 14 and 15. And he says this, stand firm. Everyone say that with me. Stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What a great word. What a great word. Paul is saying that on your feet should be footwear, the preparation for the gospel of peace. Now, preparation there means readiness, to be ready. Now, have you ever traveled with, those of you with kids, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You kind of say, guys, listen, we're leaving. We're going to leave at this time. I want everybody to be ready. And so everyone's getting ready. And as you're getting closer to the thing, you do the parent, you yell, guys, everybody ready? We're leaving in 10 minutes. You give them the countdown. We're leaving in 5 minutes. We're ready. And you get ready to walk out the door, and no one's got their shoes on. It's like you said you were ready. Well, I just have to put my shoes on. But as a parent, you know how this goes. I can only find one. Someone stole my, no one steals shoes, you know. That's what you end, it's crazy. Maybe as a married person or something, I'm not going to say who or which one, but maybe one of the couple takes long time to get ready. Could be man or woman. Takes a long time to get ready, and so you're supposed to leave, and they're like 30 minutes, you know, late, and then they come down, and you don't have your shoes on, so it's your fault you're late. And you know how that goes. It's like, well, I didn't know. Sometimes it's an hour late. Sometimes it's an hour and a half late. I don't know. Well, your shoes on. I'm in the car waiting on you. Jesus, give me strength. It's an amazing thing, but the truth of the matter is, if you don't have your shoes on, you're not ready. You're not ready. And to be ready for battle, if you want to be ready for battle, you've got to have your shoes on. Because when your shoes are on that Paul's talking about, you're going to be ready for every strategy, every scheme of the enemy when you've got your shoes on. Because if your shoes aren't on, you're not ready to go. Now, Paul's writing this. He's given us the description of an armor that would be worn by a Roman centurion. In that time, it was a very, they were under Roman rule. They would have seen these all over the place. So it was something that was very common for them to see, very common for them to understand that they would do this. And he's saying, I want you to remember this. Now, centurion wore shoes that I could probably best describe as athletic wear today. They were these boots. They had leather straps that would go around, but on the bottom of them, they had metal studs like spikes, kind of like we would wear cleats. And they would wear them because it was going to give them sure footing in battle. That when you're in the midst of fighting, when the enemy's coming, you don't need your feet slipping out from underneath of you. So we're going to give you these shoes that when you stand firm, you're going to be anchored. You're not going to get pushed. You're not going to get knocked around. It kept them from losing grip while in battle. It helped them to stand firm in the midst of it. So when the enemy attacked, his shoes gave him sure footing so he wouldn't get knocked off balance or slip backwards or moved from his place of stability. Paul talks about the shoes. He's talking about positioning yourself so that you can stand firm when the devil comes. In Ephesians, it says, in that evil day. And all of us are going to have that day that for whatever reason, it just seems like the devil picked you. And he says, when that day comes, you stand firm. You have your feet. You put on the readiness of the gospel. And you stand firm so he can't knock you over, so that he can't knock you off course, so that he can't push you back to where you used to be or back to who you used to be. Stand firm. That's what he gave us. Now, we could take some time this morning, and we could walk around this room, and we could all share times in our lives that the enemy knocked us back. We could share times in our lives that the enemy knocked us down, pushed us back, tried to steal, kill, or destroy something in our lives because we didn't have the footing that we needed to for that battle. Your circumstances knock you over. Other people knock you over. Your finances knock you over. Your job issue knocks you over. It has removed you from your place of stability. Paul said earlier in chapter 14, stand firm. Stand firm. But we learn that we can't really stand firm without shoes on, without the cleats to hold us steady when you're under attack. So God desires to create in us a steadiness, sure footing in times of attack. Now listen, I would love to stand here today and tell you that once you know Jesus, everything's just going to go smooth for you. Oh, it's just la-di-da-di-da through the park till we all get to glory. But how many know that's not the case? Sometimes you don't know hard until you know Jesus. I want to say that again because you need to hear me. Sometimes you don't know hard until you know Jesus. Because once you know Jesus, you come under attack. You say, well, the devil hated me before. The devil attacked me before I was saved. And I'm going to challenge that. Before you were saved, he didn't need to attack you. You were his. He just led you. But when you get saved, you're being led by something else. And he tries to knock you back to where you used to be, to the person that you used to be. The purpose of the attack of the enemy is to keep God's purposes, God's will, God's provision, God's blessing from becoming manifest in your life. You see, salvation's between you and Jesus. The devil can't steal that from you, but he can make you a miserable Christian. You ever met a miserable Christian? Please don't point. He can't take your salvation away, but he can try to keep it from working for you. Some say, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm worse off today than I was then. Well, that's the devil working. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Something, you know, God got something happening in my life. I don't know. So that's the devil's goal, is to keep those things from happening and from you to experiencing those things in your life, to defeat you and to keep you always playing defense. So we put on the shoes that are the gospel of peace, that when you come under attack, I want you to wear these things. So it helps you to stand firm. So let's talk about peace. All of us know the opposite of peace. Opposite of peace is anxiety and worry. I'm glad we don't have anybody in here who ever worries. Some of you were stressed as soon as I said that. Anxious. Peace is having a calm soul in the midst of difficult circumstances. Calm and tranquility of soul despite external turmoil is one of the definitions that I read. Biblical peace is when everything seems wrong, nothing's going right, winds are blowing, waves are getting bigger, but there still is a song in your heart. Calm on the inside, despite chaos on the outside. I can have the peace of God. And the thing is this, you don't know if you have biblical peace until things aren't peaceful. You can think you do. Oh, I just gonna trust God in the storms. It's easy to say until a storm hits. The storm will really tell you, won't it? The Word of God calls that peace that passes understanding. You see, when things are going great, anybody can have peace. But when everything's falling apart and there's still a song in your heart, you've got God's peace. You've got peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and I love this, will guard your heart and mind, which is what? Our righteousness and our soul, our mind, our intellect, through Christ Jesus. The peace that God gives is a peace that you don't understand. And the reason you don't understand it is because it's not based in the situation that you're experiencing. God says, I realize you're going through a hard time, but I'm not, and my peace is with you. We can have the peace of God. So why am I singing when there is no song? Why am I calm when all I see is chaos? How can I be stable like in everything when it seems like everything is crumbling? Because God gives you a peace that passes understanding. And you might find yourself in a place that you don't understand why you have peace. And people around you don't understand why you have peace. They look at what's going on in your life and you're just saying, hey, I'm okay. I'm just trusting God. And they're going, how? It doesn't make sense. I'm not just worried about your situation. I'm worried about you because you should be freaking out. Nobody understands. Yeah, you lost your job, but I didn't lose my mind. There's no money in the bank, but I'm still praising God for His provision. He'll see me through. The doctor gave you a bad report, but you're still blessing the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. When the world is falling apart, I'm not falling apart with it because you've got peace that passes understanding. And that's the peace that God talks about. That's the peace that God offers you. So let me say this, and I want you to hear me. If peace is not your normal way of operating, then something is out of sync spiritually. If peace is not your normal operation, something's out of sync. Listen, if worry is the normal way of operating, or stress, or running from one anxiety to another, listen, you're going out with no shoes on. We're supposed to walk with peace and not with worry. Now, I want to be clear because we still live on this side of eternity. And as long as we're dealing with the flesh, there's going to be times in our life that are stressful. There's going to be times in our life that we're anxious. There's going to be times in our lives that we might even be afraid of a situation, right? When, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But that should not be the normal operating process. God didn't give you stress. God gives you peace. We got to understand that. Peace is to be the normal operating system of our life. Jesus is getting ready to go into a non-peaceful situation. He's about to be crucified. And this is what he tells his disciples. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. And I love this. My peace I give. Everybody say, my peace.
My peace.
I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus, I'm going to give you my peace. Peace. You know why he says that? Because here's the thing. The world can give you peace, but it's temporary. The world says take a pill, take a shot, take a puff, take a drink. You know what you need to do when you're stressed and you're anxious? Just do something. Take your mind off of it. Let's go work out. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go for a walk around the neighborhood. Let's do something mean to the cat. All right? There's things. They don't know our cats. I'm just saying, whenever you go somewhere, the kids, mom's gone. I'm like, yes. No, I don't do that. You ever put a sock on a cat's head? You slide and the cat just... I don't know personally, because I would never do that. Put a sock on, put on the Taylor Swift on, shake it off. Shake. It's not me. I heard about that once. And it deeply disturbed me. But God gave me peace. All right, stop it. Listen, we do a lot of things. We get in stressful times, stressful moments, stressful situations, and we do stuff just to take our mind off of it. And it feels okay for a while, but you know what? It comes back. Am I telling you the truth? See, that's not the way God's peace works. That's the world's peace. And that's the difference between the world and God. Peace that the world gives is outside in. Do something on the outside, it makes you feel better temporarily. Jesus says, that's the world's peace. That's not my peace that I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus leaves his peace, peace that can even handle the cross. Peace that is the kind of peace that I want to be normal for you. Not showing up every once in a while, but every day walk in. Worry can show up every once in a while. Anxiety might show up every now and then, but peace should be the normal as long as we leave our shoes on. So if I'm anxious, worried, or stressed, how do I put on peace? Well, Ephesians 6:15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus said that the peace that I'm talking about is in the gospel. So to understand the peace that Jesus is talking about, we have to understand the gospel. Now, the Greek word, and I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, it's like euangelion, which means gospel, which is good news. That's the word there. And we know that the gospel refers to the death and the resurrection of Jesus as a substitute of our sins. And we know that when a person trusts God for forgiveness and the gift of eternal life, that they are forgiven. But here's the hang up. A lot of people only apply the gospel to what it takes to get to heaven. What do I need to do to be saved? Well, this is what you need to do to be saved. Admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, confess your sins to him, and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Done! Whew! Glad the gospel was good for that. Now the gospel is good for that. But it's not all that the gospel is good for. We apply the gospel so that we can get saved and don't go to hell. And I want to go to heaven to be with Jesus. That's just part of the gospel. The gospel is not just about how to get to heaven, but it deals with how to live on earth. It's about our everyday. Romans 5:5-10 says this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, I love that. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, God, our Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through what? His life. God didn't just save you to get you to heaven. Yes, that's part of it. And yes, that's a big part. But he saved you to live. And while you're living, you can have the peace of God at work in your life. You're not just saved for heaven, but you're saved for life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you accept Jesus, you were justified, meaning God declared you righteous. But the rest of our time on earth is being sanctified, being transformed, the process of becoming more like him. You see, the God of peace who gives us peace as part of his sanctification process. As God has changed me, I can have the peace of God. Because sometimes the things I need to lay down and sometimes the things I walk through are hard and they're tough and they want me to be afraid. They want me to be anxious. They want me to be stressed. They want me to worry. But God comes alongside and says, listen, I'm in this with you. Be at peace. If you're looking out there for peace, listen, you're looking the wrong way. You're looking the wrong direction. If your body's messing up, it's because your soul's messed up. It's because your mind's thinking wrong thoughts. Your will is making wrong choices. Your emotions are feeling the wrong things. Messed up soul leads to a messed up body. And that's why we can't fix ourselves. So we just try to manage it. You see, you can't get the outside of you to fix the inside of you. 1 Thessalonians that we just read laid it out. God works spirit, soul, body. In that order. The world says body, soul, spirit. The world doesn't work. God's way is the right way. If you want your body to work right, you got to get your soul working right. The body only does what the soul tells it to. And if our soul's not right, the body's not going to be right. You see, our souls have been affected by the way we were raised. Our souls have been affected by the environment that we grew up in, sins that I've committed, sins that were committed against me. We've got a problem in our soul, and our soul's telling our body, and so both of them are a mess. I get worried, I get stressed, I get anxious in my soul, and all of a sudden I see the effects in my body. But you know what I'm talking about? You ever gone through a situation, and all of a sudden you get the eye twitch? You're going through something, and all of a sudden your fuse gets shorter. You come home, and your kids say, Daddy, look at me. I don't care. You know, I mean, we're ready to unload on the next person that just hits the button. Just hit the button. We're ready to explode like a pressure cooker. Y'all remember those? All of a sudden, everyone's running, man. Sometimes, you know what? The stress starts building. It starts building. People run and hide. You had somebody who just disappeared? What are you doing? Nothing. What's going on? Nothing. And you find out they've been going through something, and they've just kind of wandered off, and they're alone in it, and they're struggling in it. They go and hide, and what's going on? I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't find peace. Nothing tastes good. Nothing tastes right. I'm just doing things to take my mind off of it. That's the world's answer. Doesn't work. It's called psychosomatic illness. That's what it's called. It's soul sickness that leads to body sickness. A sick soul is rubbing off on the body. See, when we don't have peace, peace isn't lost in the body, it's lost in the soul. So now the body can't sleep or eat, or the body's grumpy or short-tempered or depressed or whatever it wants to be. You cuss and you fuss and you stay mad because you've got an angry soul. It's a wounded soul and an angry soul that tells the body, everyone needs to know how miserable you are. See, some of you amening, but you got a face in your mind because you know somebody who's going through something like this. They're miserable. I love Jesus. Are you serious? Really? Because you hate everything. You ever met someone just grumpy? It's like grumpy is their spiritual gift. Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's a little windy. What a mess is up? You're bald. You know what? What do you complain about? You know, just always grumpy and short fused, ready to cut your head off at the drop of a hat. Always something. They got a sick soul. And the thing is, you can't fix your body if the soul is still damaged. You only manage it. And so often people start with the body and try to go into the soul. Now listen to me. I'm a believer in counseling. I am a believer in counseling. I think sometimes that you just need to sit down with somebody and empty out. And if they tell anybody, you can sue them. And that's always good too. But you just got to get this stuff. So I'm going to save some of you, though, $150 an hour. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. The Greek definition of the word sanctify means to set apart as unique or special. So may the God of peace sanctify you in your spirit. See, the goal of the Spirit is to release righteousness, the DNA of God, to your soul so that the soul can be changed. And then the soul releases to your body the DNA of God, and it is changed. But it all starts with the Spirit. And sometimes we don't have peace because our soul's not receiving what the Spirit is trying to give it. The Spirit is truth. The Spirit receives truth, and the Spirit will speak truth. And it's truth that sets us free. And we need to connect the two because you need some sleep. We've got to connect the two because you need less stress and less anxiousness. And you need to find some peace in your life. And so for the soul to receive from the Spirit, the soul has to agree with the Spirit. See, the battle's in the soul. God says, here's truth. The world says, here's our answer. And our intellect and our will and our emotions got to choose somebody to go with. And that's the battle so many people are in. And the thing you got to understand is this. When I say, you know what, I think the world makes a lot of sense, and I'm going to receive what the world's giving me, the Spirit closes up. Because the Spirit is perfect, and it will not work with imperfection. Sometimes I haven't heard from God. It's because your spirit's closed up. I just pray and I don't hear anything. It's because your spirit's closed up. I don't know. You know, I have friends, they told me, well, you're not listening to God. You're listening to them. And you've got to stop listening to the temporary fix. And you've got to get back to the one who can bring true change in your life. And it doesn't come from your body to your soul to your spirit. But you receive it in your spirit. And then it pushes to your soul. And then you see the effects of it in your body. That's why we have to be people of the Word of God. Because it is truth that connects. It is truth that makes them work together. When the soul accepts what's on the outside, what the world is telling, it closes up. And the truth is, you can be looking for peace right now in your life out there. And I want you to know, you're never going to find it. All you're going to get out there is management, not change. Contain it, control it, don't see it overcome. You've got to come back to truth. Would you rather have a better managed marriage or a godly one? Would you rather have a better managed finances or godly finances? Would you rather have managed children or godly children? You see, that's the decision we really have to make, guys. That's what it comes down to. But may the God of peace send his peace to the spirit and then to the soul and then to the body. You see, if you really want God's peace, your soul's got to make a decision. When your soul sees that you lost your job, when the soul sees that your doctor just called and the facts don't look good, when your soul looks and it sees the situation and it causes you to worry and it's causing you to be anxious and you're feeling it rise up in your gut, you've got to retreat to what the Spirit says. You've got to run to God and say, God, what are you saying? My soul says I'm broke. My spirit says, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory to those that are in Christ Jesus. My soul says they're going to cut your lights off. My soul says your marriage is not going to make it. My soul says your kids are out of control. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Your soul may not be wrong. Those may be the facts. But here's what you got to understand. The facts are not always the truth. I want you to hear that. The facts are not always the truth. You've got to understand that when my soul goes to my spirit and my soul agrees with God about what God says about a situation, all of the sudden, peace flows into my soul. It flows into my mind. It flows into my will. It flows into my emotions. And even though I might be facing the same situation I was before the peace came, all of a sudden it's different because I'm not stressing. I'm not worrying. I'm not freaking out. I'm just saying, God's got this. God's in control of this. And it doesn't mean I do nothing. I say nothing, because when you do nothing, you accomplish nothing. God always has things for us to do, but I'm doing it in him. And I can have the peace of God that passes understanding. When my life seems to unravel, don't panic. Run to the Spirit. Run to God. What does God have to say? And get your soul. I'm going to agree with every time the devil says, they're going to cut your lights off. I can pray in the dark. You you've got to agree with God. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, one, you've got to know what God says. David said in Psalms 37, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the children begging for bread. Listen, whenever the devil comes and he tries to steal your peace, you've got to look at your feet. You got to make sure you got the right shoes on. And when you do, you stand firm. Don't get pushed back. Don't get knocked back. Don't get distracted off. Don't let the devil say, just go watch a movie. It'll make you feel better. You just need to go for a jog. You'll feel better. You just got to do something. Get a temporary break. You don't need a temporary break. You need the peace of God in your life. And that's the difference. Listen to your spirit, the truth, and walk in peace that passes understanding. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm going to have those. I'm going to have those that are going to help us serve communion if they would come at this time and prepare everything. But I want to ask, listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is he saying to you about things in your life that you need peace in? What is he saying to you about dynamics in your heart that you need to have peace in? Are you here this morning and you know what the normal of your life is? Is it peace or is it worry? Is it peace or is it anxiety? Is it peace or is it stress? You get in bed at night, you have a hard time going to sleep. You wake up every couple hours during the night because you go, oh, my mind just won't shut. There's so much going on. There's so much going on. You need the peace of God. That doesn't mean the situation's going to change. I want to be so clear in this. It may be the same kind of situation the next day, but I promise you, when you have the peace of God, you're going to see it differently, and you're going to face it differently, and you're going to walk through it differently, and you can go through the fire, and you're not going to be burned. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but not be afraid because his rod, his staff, they're with you. He comforts you. Does the enemy have you off balance in an area of your life right now? Has he knocked you back? Has he knocked you off course? Does he have you just living, trying to find that temporary break, that temporary moment, just that thing that just kind of takes your mind? I just need to take my mind off of it. And we go fill our life with silliness. And not that it's all bad. Go for a run. It's good for you. I got no issues with that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying, if we're trying to find peace, that's not the way. That's why Jesus said, guys, I'm getting ready to head out of here. And you know what? I'm just going to leave you the world's peace. It's going to work. He said, no, I give you mine. My peace. The same peace that in the garden said, God, is there any other way? If so, let the cup pass. And God said, there's no other way. Body has to be broken. Blood has to be shed. And then Jesus said, okay, I got this. The scripture says he went as a lamb to slaughter. Could have called down 10,000 angels. Could have come off that cross. But you know what? It wouldn't have accomplished in us what God desired for us. So he hung and died and gave his life, and 3 days later was raised again so that we could have peace that passes understanding. You can't fix yourself. You need truth, because truth gives us peace inside out. That's God's way. That's God's way. See, Jesus died not just to get you to heaven, but he died to help you live.